Welcome back to the Behind Play podcast. My name is Alex Adams. I'm joined by Connor Hrabchuk, who covers the Winnipeg Jets for, I feel like you cover them for like eight different websites. So I'll let you plug yourself. Thanks so much for doing this. I feel like this is becoming almost an annual tradition because I think last year around the playoff time, I had you to talk some Winnipeg Jets. So I appreciate you taking the time and doing this. I know it's a busy time for you. So how are things in Jets land?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Things are exciting in Jets land. They just clinched their first ever Central Division title, or first ever division title ever, 1.0 or 2.0. They won the President's Trophy. They get the St. Louis Blues, chance at a 2019 kind of revenge tour. Things are looking good in Winnipeg. People are pretty fired up for the playoffs.
Do you feel any PTSD as I did seeing them playing St. Louis in the first round?
I do a little bit, especially since St. Louis has gone on this miraculous run to even get into the playoffs, and that is what happened in 2019, is they were the best team in the NHL the second half of the year, made it into the playoffs. Although this year I feel a little bit different because I felt so not confident about the Jets in 2019. Like, they were sliding big time the last month of the year and not playing good hockey at all. And the Blues were the best team in the NHL, obviously went on to win the cup. So yeah, I feel a little bit different. The PTSD is still there with the Blues side of things, but from the Jets perspective, I think I feel a little bit better.
Do you believe I feel like I've become a big proponent of the President's Trophy curse. Where do you sit on that kind of debate?
I think it's all recency bias. I'm not gonna lie. Like, just because Tampa lost and Florida lost, and then I guess Boston as well. So maybe there's a little bit to it.
And the way they lost, but
And
yes.
the way they lost, I don't know. Like, since they started handing out the President's Trophy, the team that has finished first in the NHL has won the cup the most. So the team that's won the President's Trophy the most since it's become an award has won the cup the most. It's like over 20%. You statistically have the best chance of winning. Recently, it's becoming a little bit of like, okay, why does this keep happening? But I'm not a believer in it. I even when teams were losing the first round, I wouldn't say it was because of a President's Trophy curse. I just think, some of those teams like Boston ran into a good Florida team who was, just miraculous, pulled out a game seven win in that series, and those series as well. Like, Tampa aside, where they got swept by Columbus, Boston was up 3-1 in the series against Florida, were they not? And they went on to lose. Like, I don't know. Like, I think there are a lot more things that went into losing that series than the President's Trophy curse. Like, Boston was right there and they were up 3-1, and you blow a 3-1 lead, that's on you, not some random curse.
So, I'm curious from like your vantage point. Like, obviously, Ehlers looks to be out for the first round, which just sucks. But, and that will play a part in their matchup against St. Louis. But how do you feel about this team that, as you said, won the President's Trophy? He's been playing really good hockey down the stretch, which has not been the case for this team the past 2 years. How do you just feel about this team going into the playoffs?
Yeah, health is a big thing, I guess, in every single playoff series. Like, that's not exclusive to the Winnipeg Jets at all. But like you said, Nikolaj Ehlers week to week, that's a huge blow for their secondary scoring. Gabriel Vilardi has been out for about a month, and he started skating and is day to day. So he, while I'd label him like on maybe on the wrong side of questionable for game one of the series, but early in the series to the middle of the series, maybe you'll see him come back into the lineup, which would be a huge boost. But this team has played consistently all season long. You follow the Jets, Alex. You know that right around the All-Star break, every single year, it seems like they start to tank. Their metrics are terrible. Connor Hellebuyck has to bail them out and drag them into the playoffs, or bail them out and win them games. That's not been the case this year. Since the Four Nations break, I think they're second or third in the NHL in expected goals percentage at 5-on-5. Like, they are playing good hockey, arguably their best hockey of the season. And in games that, the Jets are the number one team in the NHL, so you can't really say other games are measuring stick games, but in other games against Dallas, against Washington, this team has risen to the occasion in the regular season. They played so well. St. Louis came into Canada Life Center last week with a 12-game winning streak, and the Jets held them to 15 shots against, absolutely dominated that game. Like, when we in the media hype these games up as big games, the Jets deliver and bring their best performance. And I think that's the biggest, tell of a team that's going to be successful in the playoffs.
What do you think is different about this team that In the past 2 years, they've lost early in different ways. Last year they were a pretty good regular season team, despite some, lulls in their play. What do you think is different? Because this core is it's essentially the same team. I mean, there's guys that are young players on the team that I'm sure you'll mention, in like Sandberg, Perfetti, that have taken those jumps. Ehlers too, as well. But like, why do you think this team seems to be playing, becoming more resilient, and just playing overall better hockey when the pieces are generally the same?
Yeah, it's a great question. And we had Dmitry Filipovich on Winnipeg Sports Talk the other day. And we asked him, just his blanket thoughts on the Jets. And he found it really interesting how they have chosen to go with the continuity angle and the chemistry angle, where you see teams like Vegas and you see they just get whatever talented player and hope that they'll fit. The Jets have brought back the exact same team from last year, in except for their deadline additions and Sean Monahan and Tyler Toffoli. And ended up being the number one team in the NHL. So that continuity, the chemistry, their power play went from bottom 10 in the league this year to the number one power play in the NHL. Thank you, Davis Payne, new assistant coach running the power play.
Ottawa.
Unbelievable work.
It's
Yes, former Sens legend. There you go.
legend.
Sens legend. But no, he has done wonders with the power play. Nikolaj Ehlers is on the top unit. There's so many options. Kyle Connor hasn't even scored a power play goal since December, and they have the first best power play in the NHL.
I did not
It's
know that.
crazy.
That's
It's great.
crazy. Great
It's
stat.
crazy. And yeah, the young players you mentioned there, that is another big thing. Like Brendan Dillon was a great second pairing defenseman for the Jets, good to great second pairing defenseman. Dylan Sandberg has taken that role and been an elite second pairing defenseman, an elite top four defenseman. They have one of the best second pairs in hockey with Dylan Sandberg and Neil Pionk. Cole Perfetti last year had like a 20-plus game goal drought in the second half of the year, was scratched for the playoffs by Rick Bonus. This year, he's gotten better as the season's gone on. He's improved his game. He's become tougher to play against, more defensively responsible, creating more offense. So you have the same players from the team last year taking on bigger roles and excelling in them. And then you have Connor Hellebuyck somehow getting better from winning the Vezina last year and now being a Hart Trophy candidate. You have the power play. You have the top line getting better with Scheifele and Connor having Kyle Connor having the best season of his career. So a lot of things broke right for the Jets this year for sure.
I do have a vote, crazily enough, which is really weird this year. And right now, Connor Hellebuyck, I think, is going to be my number one.
Love
It's
to
funny
hear
because
that.
my you'll find this, and maybe Jets fans who tune into this. My cousin works for the team. He's in I don't Do you know JP at all? I don't know. Anyways, he works in like marketing and stuff. I know Huss knows him a little bit. They're both
Sure.
Chiefs fans, ironically.
There you go.
But he was relaying that the Jets were sent me that was it Sandberg, who had like Hellebuck for Hart. I think it came out yesterday on Twitter or something. And I've really thought about it, because a part of me, like, for people that don't know, my whole family's from Winnipeg. I grew up a Jets fan, so I definitely have Jets in my blood. And I'm like, am I just being a homer? Like, am I just And so when looking at the stats, like, I think for me it's as simple as, like, it's the most valuable player. Like, do I think if the Jets could trade Connor Hellebuyck for Nathan MacKinnon or Leon Draisaitl or Nikita Kucherov, I probably would say they would, although that's a really weird trade now that I'm putting that into the universe. But I think the team, last time I checked, is with Hellebuyck starting, they are on pace for 127 points. With Comrie, and he's played well, their backup, Eric Comrie, they're below 500. And so to me, that is like exemplifies most valuable player, right? You are the best, one of like the two or three best regular season teams of all time, or you won't even come close to the playoffs, right? So, and goaltending is the most important position. So it feels like it's right. So I don't know if that makes any sense to you, Connor, but, I think that's where I landed on my vote. So, yeah.
As long as Connor Hellebuyck finishes number one in your Hart Trophy ballot, I don't care how you came to the conclusion. That's a win. That's a win.
Yeah.
No, but he's okay. He's gonna play tonight. We're recording this
Is
Wednesday,
he?
April
Okay.
16th.
Yep.
He's gonna play tonight against Anaheim in the final regular season game. And going into tonight's game, he is first in goals against average, save percentage, wins, shutouts, goals saved above expected. Every single major goaltender statistic, he is first in. I don't know. What more does a goalie have to do to be considered to win the Hart? Like, He's on the President's Trophy winning team, Central Division winning team. He's got like 45 wins, could be 46 after tonight. The all-time record for wins by a goaltender in a single season is 48, which was done a couple times. He's going to be 2 wins shy of that. Like he's doing truly historic things. And Leon Draisaitl, as great of a player as he is, this isn't his best season. Like he's got 50 whatever goals. He's scored 60 before, is he not? Like I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if he says that's a good question. I'll check.
I believe he has. Like I don't know. Leon Draisaitl is having a fantastic season, and he should absolutely be second in the Hart Trophy voting. But he's carried that Edmonton team through injuries to the playoffs. McDavid's having a down year by his standards, which is still 100 points in 67 games or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I think Connor Hellebuyck, this is the best season of his career, the best season we've seen from a goalie in a long time, and I think that's deserving of the Hart.
Yeah, and I mean, some people say, well, the goaltenders don't play a lot, but he's played, had the most amount of starts this season, I believe, in the league, right? So it's
Easily,
not,
yeah.
and he's at like 60, what, finished at 61, 62 starts, right? So like, it's he's playing 80% of the games. Like, it's not as though he's playing 42 and has these ridiculous numbers. So, yeah, I guess what you believe, like, staying on Hellebuck a little bit, like, he hasn't played well in the playoffs. How do you feel about his, like, he's, as you said, he's been the best goaltender in the league, maybe the best player in the league this season. What do you think of the narrative that he's, you know, struggled in the playoffs? Is that a real thing? Is it a bit nuanced? Like, where do you feel about that?
I think there's a lot more nuance that people, I mean, Winnipeg's the smallest market in the league, so I get it. Like people don't watch the Jets night in and night out. And then in the playoffs, when you see them get scored on 6 or 7 times a game by the Avs, it's like, oh, it's the goalie. It's their MVP goalie. It's like, well, I don't know. Last year against the Colorado Avalanche, Connor Hellebuyck was not great, but the team in front of him absolutely collapsed. Like that series was not close. You could have put the greatest goalie of all time back there. You could have put a brick wall back there. Eventually, it would have broken. You know, like it's really the year before that against Vegas, the Jets really struggled to score. Like they really had no offense. They lost a few key players to injury. Josh Morrissey was out in that series as well. The bubble year against the Edmonton Oilers, they swept the Oilers, and Connor Hellebuyck stole every single game. Like if you look at the shots, the expected goals, everything in all 4 games. The Jets should have lost by chances and shots on goal, and they won every single game. And then the next series in that playoff round, he ran into Carey Price, who was having an unbelievable playoff run himself. Mark Scheifele gets suspended for the series. Is that really his fault? I don't know. And then you go back, the 2017-18 run, he outdueled Pekka Rinne in Game 7, who won the Vezina that year. Pekka Rinne did on the road. Their game 1 of that series, you can go back and watch it. The
Oh, he
Jets
was
won, like
unbelievable.
he was unbelievable. Nashville had 48 shots on goal and 1 goal. Like I don't, Connor Hellebuyck is not like a playoff choker his whole career. Last year, if you want to pin that entire series where the Jets got absolutely caved in and night out on him, sure, go ahead. But here in Winnipeg, we're not going into this series thinking, ooh, how is Connor Hellebuyck going to perform? Like that is way down the list of issues that could potentially arise for the Jets because he's been so stellar this year. We've seen him succeed in the playoffs before. Last year was a bit of an anomaly, both for the Jets and how badly they performed in the playoffs and Connor Hellebuyck. And I think that this goalie matchup in the first round between Hellebuyck and Binnington, Four Nations rematch, flipped. Canadians living in Winnipeg, Jets fans are, it's conflicting. It's like, oh, we were just cheering for the opposite a few months ago, but yeah.
Did Binnington like rising to the occasion like break your like mind as like someone who I know you and me like analytics like just like I don't know how this happened, but it happened and it worked.
Man, cheering for Jordan Binnington was such an experience. It really was. Like, so up and down, and the overtime, like Canada, no way Canada wins if it was not for him. Like he played so well. And then cheering against Connor Hellebuyck in the goal. Like, but again, as a Canadian hockey fan, like that was such an awesome night. Like that was the most nervous I've been for a hockey game in a long time. McDavid scores the goal. Like I'm not sitting there thinking, oh, Connor Hellebuyck. Like, no, whatever. It was one night. It was one night.
I know. No, I still feel like I still remember how that gut punch in 2019 when Binnington stole the first two games in Winnipeg. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen again. I guess, you know, it's interesting you talk about how poorly the team played in front of him last year, specifically. What's different about this team that you maybe think that it'll be a bit di a different story this season, where they have been, their analytics show them to be one of the best defensive teams in the league, and in part that's why Hellebuck's numbers are so good. But how do you think that play will translate to the playoffs when last year they weren't as sparkling their numbers, but they kind of completely folded?
See, that I think is a bigger question than Connor Hellebuck himself, is the team in front of him, because like you said, their metrics last year were good. This year they're great. So how do those transfer over? They're not allowing chances in the middle of the ice. They're one of the best teams in the NHL, expected goals against, shots against, their penalty kill since the Four Nations, I think, is number one in shots against on the PK. So they're not allowing shots at all, high danger shots they're not allowing. At least down the stretch here. And that has been both great for Connor Hellebuck's Hart Trophy case and for the Winnipeg Jets winning all these games and being the number one team in the NHL. Last year, going into the playoffs, you'll remember this, Alex, they won eight straight games, and one of those was a 7-0 beatdown of the Avs, who they then lost to in the playoffs. It was mind-blowing. But over that eight-game winning streak, their metrics were so-so. They were a little bit below 50% in all of the chances, expected goals, 5-on-5 goals. They were getting great goaltending from Connor Hellebuck, but there were cracks in the Jets game that maybe we didn't see at the time because they were winning. So we just kind of maybe ignored them. This year, they, since the Four Nations break, they're one of the best teams in the league in a lot of underlying metrics. 5-on-5 play, their power play is, even without Vilardi, has been okay. Obviously, having Vilardi back would bring it back to that elite tier. And I think that is the number one thing I'm watching for going into this playoff series, is how the Jets play translates from the regular season, where they were dominant, to the playoffs against a hot goalie potentially in Jordan Binnington and a hot team in general. The Blues are 19-4-3 since the Four Nations break. Like they've been red hot. So how does this play translate? Can they kind of manage their emotions in a playoff series, the ups and downs? They haven't had much adversity this year, the Jets. They've just been winning hockey games a ton. So if they go down 2-0 in the first period of game one, how do they manage that? How do they come back? But like I said, this team has risen to the occasion in the big games this year, and I think that's the biggest sign of a team that's ready for the playoffs.
How do you think they match up against St. Louis, who, as you mentioned, is like legit the hottest team in the league right now heading into the playoffs?
I think they match up quite well, actually. I know the top line of Buchnevich, Thomas, and whoever else is there. I know Jake Neighbors has been there, Snuggerud has been there, Kyrou. Sometimes they load up, and I know Dylan Holloway's been out recently as well. But I don't know, that game last Monday against St. Louis in Winnipeg was one of the Jets' best performances of the season. They completely shut them down, and it was the They put Mark Scheifele's line against Robert Thomas's line, which I found really interesting, because if you've watched the Jets at all, you know that Adam Lowry's the Selke candidate, shut down 3C. He goes out there to play defense, and that's it. And he adds offense as well, I should add, in the playoffs. I shouldn't have slighted Adam Lowry like that. He's one of the best players in the playoffs year in and year out for the Jets. But in that game specifically, they put Mark Scheifele up against Robert Thomas's line, and Scheifele's line dominated the Thomas line. So I don't know what they'll do in a playoff series here with home ice advantage, but it goes back to Dylan Sandberg as well. I think having an elite second pairing versus maybe a slightly above average second pairing that the Jets had last year gives them such a big advantage to put Sandberg and Pionk up against the Robert Thomas line. And then Josh Morrissey can maybe be freed up to have a few easier matchups. And we know he's one of the, what, six best defensemen in the NHL, top five, if you want to argue it. So I think the Jets match up quite well. And it really goes down to Mark Scheifele, Kyle Connor, and those guys playing a more defensive game this year. And the Jets' second pairing being a true elite shutdown pair rather than just a pairing that usually breaks even on their minutes.
Yeah, no. I maybe talk about Sandberg, because it's interesting. For me, there's a couple parallels with him and Sanderson here in Ottawa, where it's like guys that really have taken a leap, but they haven't really shown it at like, well, Sanderson played at the Four Nations and was one of the standouts, but just in terms of like on the biggest stage in the playoffs, obviously Sandberg's played the last two seasons, but his game wasn't at that level as it is now. How important do you think he is just for this Jets run, hopefully to, going deep in the playoffs, and like how vital is he to this team?
He is one of the X factors, one of the like biggest X factors to Winnipeg Jets having success in the playoffs. And for the reason I mentioned, like, he's going to get the other team's top line. He's going to get Nathan MacKinnon if the Jets go into round two against the Avs. He's going to get Jack Eichel in the third round against the Western Conference Final Vegas Golden Knights, right? Like, he's going to get the number one line, Robert Thomas. And so far, so good this year. So far, so elite this year, I should say, because he has been unbelievable. It's funny you bring up Jake Sanderson. I brought his name up a few weeks ago on WST Sunday Live, our show at 9 a.m., comparing, his kind of breakout to Dylan Sandberg's, similar in age, similar, left shot defenseman playing top 4 minutes. Sanderson top pairing, of course, in Ottawa there. And he's on the top power play unit in Ottawa as well, right? Yeah. So he's getting the points for sure. Dylan Sandberg here in Winnipeg is being compared more to like a Jacob Slavin light, where he's not getting the points. I believe he has 6 goals and 17 points on the season, but defensively, good luck trying to get any room in the middle of the ice on this guy because he is so sound defensively off the rush, off the cycle. This year, he's become a lot more poised with the puck. So he's spending less time in the defensive zone because he can move it out of the puck quicker or move it out of the zone quicker, excuse me. And him and Neil Pionk fit great as a second pairing. He's great on the penalty kill. He's just so elite in so many ways, and he doesn't get the acclamation for it because he doesn't put up the Jake Sanderson-esque numbers. He's not taking that big of a leap offensively, but defensively, he's taken as big of a leap as you could possibly take as a defenseman going from third pair to second pair minutes.
He's one of my favorite players to watch. Just, I love
Me
guys that
too.
just are always in the right position, making the right reads. Like, you just, it's almost like if, when you put your fan hat on, you just feel safe. You're like,
Yeah.
ah, I'm not like scared out of my mind that something bad's gonna happen. I'm okay. We're all good, right? And I feel like with the Sandberg watching the Jets this year, like as you mentioned, just so good defensively. And I think I hope the Jets give him a lot of money this summer and that he signs for a long time, because I think he could definitely have that Jacob Slavin type of arc where, he'll probably never win and, like get a lot of Norris ballots or kind of get the eye-popping offensive stats, but everyone around the league knows how freaking good Jacob Slavin is, and I think people are starting to learn about Dylan Sandberg. The one thing I'm curious about, and you kind of mentioned it just before about the Scheifele line, because that's been something very well, and that their defensive aptitude has been questioned for a long time. Him and Kyle Connor and Vilardi's a good defensive player, but those two specifically, how have you seen those guys grow on that side of the puck? Because like I'm looking at defensive metrics just a lot for the Selke voting, which is a really hard award to vote on,
Yeah.
and like Kyle Connor, Mark Scheifele, like their defensive metrics are actually quite good. And watching them, it seems like they're not that like gaping defensive liability that they were in the past. Like, how have you seen them evolve this season?
Yeah, if there was like a most improved Selke, I'd probably give that to Kyle Connor. Like he went from being a guy who would put up 90 points in a season but lose his minutes at 5-on-5. Like that's how bad this top line was defensively. And that is one of the biggest changes from last year's Winnipeg Jets team to this year's. All the way back in training camp, day one of training camp, everyone was waiting to see if they were going to put Connor, Scheifele, and Vilardi together. Because last year, that line was brutal defensively. They lost their minutes at 5-on-5. And it was like, why would we run this line back for another full season if it's not going to work? They did it. They got, kind of slandered for it, especially online, how fans be. And I was questioning it too. Like, why are they going back to this line if it clearly did not work the season before? Props to Scott O'Neill and the coaching staff because it's been an incredible line. And it's all because Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele specifically have bought into the defensive side of the ice. And Kyle Connor, we know he has the speed. He's lightning fast. He's using it more to back check this year. Like you've seen three or four times a game, Kyle Connor will track back and catch a fast player in transition and stop that play right then and there, and that results in more offense for the line. And the biggest thing for this top line is Kyle Connor set a career high in points this year, and he's got 41 goals, and he's miles better defensively. Like this is easily the best season of his career. All of the defense that he has added to his game has not come at the expense of his offensive firepower that we know is night in and night out. Kyle Connor is one of the most dangerous snipers in the league, and it's really changed the dynamic of the Jets forward core because you no longer have a top line barely breaking even on their minutes and then everyone else needing to, kind of fill in the gaps from what the top line is leaving. You have a top line that can go up against the Robert Thomas line and dominate them and actually play solid defense and score the game winning goal with 8 minutes left in the third. And they've been clutch this year. They've been great defensively. And props to Scott O'Neill for sticking to it because I'll speak for everyone in Winnipeg covering the team. We did not see this coming this season.
But I remember, I think Jacob asked a question about to Arden Neal about the line. And I think the first like 5 or 10 games, forgive me if I'm wrong, they were getting hemmed in. And then
They
it
were.
changed. Like, have you, like, how do you explain that, I guess? But going to Arden Neal a little bit, like, I see his son here in Ottawa all the time. But, or I mean, Rick Bowness's son all the time here in Ottawa. But obviously, new coach, but from the same. Coaching tree in Scott Arneal, and I'm sure you'll get a lot of Jack Adams votes as well. How has he brought in a different type of philosophy to this group that seems to be working at an even better level than Rick Bowness, who, got the team into the playoffs, but also had, some doubters as well, especially when it came to playoff time?
For sure. Rick Bowness did like masterful work in changing the culture of the Winnipeg Jets organization. Came in, stripped Blake Wheeler of the captaincy and immediately made Adam Lowry the captain, which has paid dividends as well. And instilled a defensive structure that was strong at times, stronger, much stronger than what we had seen in years past from the Winnipeg Jets. And brought the team to the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. Like Rick Bowness did great work for the Winnipeg Jets organization, both on the ice and off the ice. This season, Scott O'Neill has taken that to the next level, bringing in new assistants, Davis Payne, who's running the power play, Dean Chynoweth, running the penalty kill. Special teams have been better. I think Scott O'Neill deserves a lot of credit for Cole Perfetti and Dylan Sandberg's emergence, kind of the forward thinking to say, okay, these young players are ready for a step up, and I'm going to give them the opportunity to show what they can do, Dylan Sandberg especially. But Cole Perfetti, like Rick Bowness last year, would bench Nikolaj Ehlers and Cole Perfetti for the final 5 minutes of every game to try and protect a lead. He would run the Jets' fourth line, the Lowry line, and the Scheifele line, and that second line would not see the ice in the final 5 minutes just to protect a lead. Now, this year, Cole Perfetti's out there protecting leads because Scott O'Neill realizes that if we're going to go deep in the playoffs, Cole Perfetti needs to be trusted in his own zone. So from the start of the season, he has put Cole Perfetti in those situations, and Cole Perfetti has learned on the fly, and he's a much better player right now than he was at the start of the season. And I think Scott O'Neill doesn't get enough credit for that in Winnipeg. I know nationally he's going to get a lot of Jack Adams votes as he should. I still think it should be Carberry or Arneal, one of the two, either or. I think Carberry will end up winning it. But here locally, I still don't think Scott O'Neill gets enough credit for the development of the young players this season and tweaking what was already great about the Winnipeg Jets, which was their defensive structure and their goalie, and making them that much better with the power play and the top line, revitalizing their defensive game and things like that. Like, I don't think Scott O'Neill gets enough credit for those things specifically, building off of what Rick Bowness did, because he could have just came in, did the exact same thing that Rick Bowness did, rolled the top line, even if it didn't work, and still benched Cole Perfetti late in games and this, that, and the third. But he didn't do that, and he's really revitalized this Jets lineup.
It felt like last year, in Winnipeg, like being co not covering the team, but like being a fan, and like the contender word was being a cup contender was kind of like that word that people kind of wanted to say but didn't want to. And this year, it feels like from last year, fans and maybe media like are like, like they're really good, but are they? I don't know if they're really a cup contender. Like, where do you feel about, or how do you feel about this team heading into the playoffs as like? Are they that second tier? Do you feel like they should like not winning the Stanley Cup is a massive disappointment? Like what, how do you feel about this team in terms of their cup chances and maybe the expectations?
I think their cup chances rely heavily on what I see in game one of round two, if the Jets made it. Like if they beat the St. Louis Blues, which they should, they're heavily favored, they're the number one seed, they should have no issues beating the St. Louis Blues. If they're able to do that, and they match up against the Colorado Avalanche in game one and lose 6-2. I don't know. Like, I don't, because the Avs
Colorado's,
aren't, Colorado's just been rolling. And I think they're in the same tier. I don't know if this answers your question, but I think they're in the same bubble as Vegas, Colorado. I'm not even going to throw Dallas in there without Heiskanen. I don't think Dallas is in that tier, but like, I think they're a Western Conference Stanley Cup contender. And if the Jets make it, the Avs make it, the Golden Knights make it, I wouldn't be shocked. If a team like Edmonton makes it with all of their injuries, or a team like LA makes it, I'd be pretty shocked. And Dallas, I guess if they get through Colorado and get Heiskanen back, I would not be shocked if they made the Stanley Cup as well. But I think the expectation should be that the Jets are a cup contender, and anything like a first round exit would be a failure given the unbelievable success they've had this season. A second round exit, I'm not ready to go there, because I said this to someone the other day, like if they're the Nashville in the 2018 scenario where they lose in like game seven to the Avs or something, like, is that really a failure? Like, I don't know. I don't think I'd list that. It's all relative, right? Like, what's a failure for a season and things like that. I already think this season has been a great success for the Jets with the President's Trophy and the Central Division title. But I will say a first round exit would be a failure, given what this team has gone through the last two seasons with first round exits and the expectation coming into this playoffs that they are a contender in the West.
Yeah, I also think like Elliot Friedman always says this. It's like I feel like with the division wild card format where it's not necessarily 1 through 8 and like Colorado and Dallas are playing in the first round, which just probably shouldn't happen, right? That it's more about like who you lose to rather than when you lose, right? And like in my opinion, I think that, I mean, I could be proven wrong. I don't have a crystal ball, but Colorado to me seems like the best team in the West. Just top to bottom, super deep. The additions they've made, they have goaltending now. Obviously, they have the superstar talent as well. So if the Jets lost in 7 games to Colorado, like it would hurt. Like it would be like, oh my God, you were right there to, maybe making the finals and maybe even winning a Stanley Cup. But you couldn't look back and say, oh, like they lost to the worst team or that, that's a complete abject failure, right? But if they lost in 5 to St. Louis, then you're like, what the heck just happened, right? So I think it's more about that rather than, in a sense, like if they only make it to round 2, it's like, well, yeah, but you're playing Colorado, who's, easily could win the Stanley Cup, right? Compared to if they played, I don't know, like Carolina or New Jersey in the second round, which, I mean, Carolina's a good team, but anyways, I won't put all those the tiers into all these different teams that could win the Stanley Cup. But yeah, I think you're right about that for sure. And that I still feel Dallas is really flawed, and if they somehow beat Colorado, I'd actually like the Jets in that series, even with Heiskanen, but who knows? Who knows? So what is your prediction? Like before I let you go, what is your prediction for the playoffs for this team? How far do you think they go?
If I had to make a prediction, which was your question, so I have to, they make the Western Conference Finals, and then from that point forward, I don't know, but I think they do it. I really do. I think they'll beat the Blues. And if they don't, that would be ridiculous. And then the second round, yeah, like I do think that this team will have learned from last year's mistakes and last year's failure to the Colorado Avalanche, where they got flat out embarrassed. And yeah, I don't know. Colorado's loaded, so that series would be unbelievable. Like, I keep bringing it up, but that would be 2017-18 Jets versus Predators. Like, in my opinion, the two best teams in the West meeting in the second round. And then the Jets won and didn't even win the Western Conference. But you know what I mean,
That
because
was
they're,
such a
grueling series and all those
flurry.
things that yeah, Marc-Andre Fleury, unbelievable. But yeah, if I had to predict, I think they make the Western Conference Finals, but I would not be shocked to see them lose in round two to a red hot Colorado, with a series that looks similar to last year's.
What's their pathway to win the cup?
They'd have to go St. Louis,
No, I meant more
Colorado.
like in a sense, like what has to go right for them
What has to go
to
right?
win. Yeah,
Yeah,
my
I was
bad.
just gonna list like the teams I think they would beat on the way
That's
there,
not that.
but
I realize I misphrased that.
I think Connor Hellebuck needs to be able to see shots coming at him this season or this postseason, because last year against Colorado, There were two bodies in front of him on every single shot. And when Connor Hellebuyck can't see, he can't make the save. And that nullifies your greatest strength. So the Luke Shen addition, I think, will really help that. He's been great so far at clearing the front of the net. Dylan Sandberg's great at that. Dylan DeMello does it in a more subtle way than just pure physicality, more like ties up sticks. But I think the Jets, if they're able to beat a St. Louis and go up against Colorado, that second wave of attack from Colorado when they had screens in front and high deflections is how they scored almost every single goal. Like if you go back and watch the series, it was like a repeat. High shot, deflection, screen, tipped, goal, pass Connor Hellebuyck. You didn't even see it. It's like, well, is that really on him? Connor Hellebuyck will need to steal some games. Absolutely. This Jets team needs to be able to ride the emotions of a playoff series where if they lose a game, it's not over. Where in the last two seasons, they have not bounced back from a loss in the playoffs. They win game one and lost the next four. So bouncing back from losses is going to be a big thing in this year's postseason. But yeah, I think defensively, keeping that structure intact, letting Connor Hellebuyck do what he does, which is be the best goalie in the league, and being able to bounce back from losses are the most key things that the Jets will need to do if they want to make a deep run.
Before I let you go, and thanks again for taking the time and doing this. What do you think the future of this team is? Because it feels like this
Oh.
there's a lot up in the air with Ehlers being a UFA. They have some big RFAs in Vilardi and Sandberg. Like, what's they just signed Iafallo, if you have any thoughts on that. But just overall, like, is this the last dance, or does this feel like there's there could be some continuity with this group and maybe just with their cup contention window.
For sure. Just quickly on the Alex Iafallo deal, 3 years, 3.67 million, I think it was. Love it. Utility Swiss Army knife, bottom six player. Has filled in quite admirably on the top line without Gabe Vilardi as well. So I really, really like that signing for sure. The future of this team, like if Nikolaj Ehlers walks in the offseason, they're still going to be a very good hockey team to like a borderline playoff lock, I think, with Connor Hellebuyck in his prime. I don't think the Winnipeg Jets can be listed as a team that's going to miss the playoffs with Connor Hellebuyck in his prime. If they're able to bring back Dylan Sandberg and Gabe Vilardi, who are RFAs, so they definitely should be back, they'll still have a very deep forward core. They've got some prospects coming up as well. They still have their first round pick, which I find very interesting
Yeah,
this
I was
year.
going to ask you, do you
Like
think that's a trade bait?
there's some potential there. Like especially if they get the sense that Nikolaj Ehlers will not be re-signing with the team. And make no mistake, money will not be an issue with the Nikolaj Ehlers extension. The Jets have, I think, prior to the Iafallo signing, had like 40 million in cap space or something. Now they have a lot of players to sign. But there would be no issue allocating 8.5 of that to Nikolaj Ehlers per season or whatever the case might be. Like the money works. It's just a matter of whether or not Nikolaj Ehlers wants to come back to Winnipeg. I don't know. If the Jets get the sense that he's gonna walk in free agency, look for the Jets to make a big splash at the trade or right at the sorry, at the trade. Big splash at the trade. Big splash
With
at the
the draft,
draft
with the
with a
trade.
trade. Yes. Or right before the draft as well, because all things considered, knock on wood, the playoffs go well, and that's a pretty late first round pick. But they have their first round pick for the next 3 years, and this is the window. This is the window. It's Connor Hellebuyck. He's 31 years old or 32. These next 3 years are the cup window. So, how valuable are those first round picks? You have a lot of prospects coming up already in the system. So, I don't know. The future of this team is going to be it. The short term future hinges on Nikolaj Ehlers re-signing. The long-term future hinges on what they do at the draft with that first round pick. Do they keep it? Do they pick a player? Do they trade it? Make a big move for a top six forward to offset the loss of a Nikolaj Ehlers? I don't know. There's a lot that I hope we're not thinking about until the middle of June when the Jets are
There you
doing the
go.
cup parade down Portage, Maine.
There you go. What will you be doing when they have the cup parade?
I'll be covering it, of course.
Are you gonna like? Have you covered any of the Bombers ones? Is that what's it like?
Well, in 2020 or in 2019 or 2021, I can't remember which one, but I've only been to one of them. I think it was the very first one, 2019. Yeah, that was Strebler fur coat year. I don't know if people listening will understand what
I
I'm
know.
talking about,
I
but
remember.
yeah. That was fun. That was fun.
But before I let you go, is there anything, as I mentioned on the top, You work for a bunch of different places, so I didn't know how to completely introduce yourself. But is there anything you want to plug for just the listeners, like moving forward throughout the playoff run, where they can kind of find you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. This is an absolute blast talking Jets as always. You can find me at Winnipeg Sports Talk, their YouTube channel. Just type in Winnipeg Sports Talk. Yeah, right there behind me. I do a lot of YouTube content for them, so we'll be doing a lot of playoff series preview stuff. We do our show every single Sunday morning at 9 a.m. WST Sunday Live. So if you are
I'm an
curious
avid
on what is
listener.
Yes, you are. You're always there. I appreciate that. So if you're curious what's going on with the Jets, tune in Sundays at 9 a.m. It's there on the replay as well, so you can watch it after the fact. And then my articles, I write for IllegalCurve.com, another big hockey media company here in Winnipeg. Super fun year with them writing articles on the Jets. I usually write an article every single game the day after called my next day takeaways. And I'm going to have an article coming out, I think Friday morning, on the 5 keys to the Winnipeg Jets beating the St. Louis Blues in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So stay tuned for that. Winnipeg Sports Talk, LegalCurve.com. That's where you can find me. Thanks,
Awesome.
Alex.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. I always I think I needed to get my like Jets itch on. Like I need to just talk Jets with someone. So I really appreciate you doing this, Connor, and good luck in the playoffs. I hope you're busy until June, and thanks again for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for doing this.